Well, good morning, El Paso and Las Cruces. I hope you're having a blessed morning this morning. I thank you for joining us at Grace Chapel for this message. The title of the message this morning is Positive, Encouraging Hananiah. And the reason I titled it is because the message will take will launch from Jeremiah chapter 28. And in Jeremiah 28, there was a prophet named Hananiah. And he brought a positive, encouraging message to Judah during a time of judgment from God. Now, this message Hananiah brought to Judah was something that they really wanted to hear. They were hungry for some positive, encouraging messages. And Jeremiah had only been bringing Judah negative messages that they were under the wrath and judgment of God. But that is definitely not what they wanted to hear. They needed something positive and encouraging to lift up their spirits, and that's what they wanted, and that's what they thought they needed anyway. So let's read here, and let's see where this story goes. Certainly in our day and age, we can relate to the idea of positive and encouraging news. We want to hear it, but it seems like more and more we're not getting anything positive or encouraging. So if you're like me, sometimes you go looking for sources that'll bring something positive and encouraging. But is that really what God has for us right now? And the question is, this time in Judah's history, was the positive, encouraging message from Hananiah the message that God had for Judah at that time? In chapter 28, it says, verse 1, and it happened in the same year at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azar the prophet, who was from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord. Now this is Jeremiah writing. In the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, Thus speaks the Lord of hosts and the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. And I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. So as a little background here, God had raised up the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, to come against Israel and to come against Judah and besiege Judah because of their great sin. God had turned them over to their enemies, and there really wasn't anything positive or encouraging going on. They were besieged. They were in a very bad place. And so this was the how God was dealing with the sin of Judah at this time. And in verse 3, it says, Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people who stood up in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform your words, which you have prophesied, to bring back the vessels of the Lord of the house and all who were carried away captive from Babylon to this place. Nevertheless, hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who have been before me and before you of old prophesied against many countries and great kingdoms, of war and disaster and pestilence. As for the prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the Lord, or when the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. So Jeremiah just basically reminded Hananiah, you can be prophesying these things, bringing a positive, encouraging message, but the only way we're going to know you're a true prophet is if what you're saying is true. Because in the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord had said, one false prophecy makes a false prophet. And you know, many of these preachers that we hear on the radio, you can test them. We now can go and hear the words and prophecies that they made in years past and see if they came to pass and see if they're a true or false prophet. And this is the test that Jeremiah was giving to Hananiah. And in verse 10, it says, Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. So Hananiah does 2 key things. 1, he makes a very specific prophecy. And 2, he prophesies it in the name of the Lord. So if you're going to make a specific prophecy and you're going to say, thus says the Lord, it better come true, or you're going to be pronounced a false prophet. And in Deuteronomy, it said they should not be listened to. And it was a very, very sinful thing to prophesy in the name of the Lord when the Lord was not speaking through you. Now in verse 12, in Jeremiah 28, 12, it says, now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made in their place yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make the people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die, because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. So that was not a good ending to something that started out with a positive, encouraging message. And it's a reminder that just because we get a positive, encouraging message that might make us feel good in the moment, it does not at all mean that that message is true. So the question we have for those of us living in this region, in this country, at this time, does God have a positive, encouraging message for the United States, or is he pronouncing judgment on our nation? When we look at our nation in the past many years, the past 50 years, you consider the blood of 65 million aborted babies on the hands of this nation that made it so-called legal to do that for 40 years, you see the wickedness, the sexual immorality, the rebellion against God's design. You see the violence and the murder, the lifting up, the exaltation of wicked things in Hollywood, and the way people and sadly most Christians take entertainment in the wicked things that are produced out of Hollywood and on television, on the internet. There is a impending wrath looming over this nation. I believe that that is true. And I know that there are a lot of voices saying, hey, there's positive encouragement. If we can just get the right president in, if we can just elect the right officials, that will save us. Will that really save us? What situation, what lessons can we learn from Israel? I'm reminded of Jehoshaphat. And in 1 Kings chapter 22, Jehoshaphat was a pretty good king. And he joined with a very evil king, the king of Israel, Ahab. Ahab was a horribly evil king. And Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, and he was a pretty good king at the time, but he yoked with a wicked king. And I want to read to you this story because it ties right in with the voice of the false prophets. It's another story of positive, encouraging, false prophecy that led them in a wrong way. So they joined together in chapter 22, and it says, now 3 years passed without war between Syria and Israel. This is 1 Kings 22. Then it came to pass in the 3rd year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, do you know that Ramoth and Gilead is ours? But we hesitate to take it out of the hand of the king of Syria. So he said to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to fight at Ramoth Gilead? Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are. My people are your people. My horses as your horses. Here he is, yoking to a very wicked king. Now, a little background on King Ahab. As a reminder, there were none so evil as King Ahab in that day. He really was one of Israel's all-time worst figures. Ahab, whose very name has become proverbial for evil. One time he Naboth, a guy named Naboth, refused to sell him his vegetable garden, which was near the king's house. So the king's wicked wife, Ahab's wife Jezebel, who you might recognize, arranged to have Naboth falsely accused and stoned and killed. And once he was dead, Ahab seized his vineyard. That was just one of many very, very wicked things that Ahab did. He was a murderer. He was a very wicked man. He was an idolater. But, God had a heart for Ahab, which is interesting. God worked with him. God gave him many chances. In 1 Kings 21, even after he did the wicked thing to Naboth, God said, "Have you seen how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the disaster in his days, but in his son's days I will bring disaster upon his house." And so that's interesting that even a very wicked man, God's willing to give them a chance and work with them. So here we see Ahab or Jehoshaphat yoking with Ahab. In verse 6, in 1 Kings 22, it says, "Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, 'Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain?' So they said to him, 'Go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king.' So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'There is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil.'" So, and this is how the world is. If you have a true prophet who's prophesying real things, they will largely be not listened to and shunned and even undermined and made fun of. And that's how it is. And here it was. There was one true prophet left in the land. And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say such things." Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly." The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, having put on their robes, sat each on his throne at a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And I find it interesting they were sitting at the threshing floor because that was very symbolic. God was getting ready to thresh Israel and Judah here. And thresh means he was going to sort them out and he was going to burn away some chaff. And in verse 11 it says, "Now Zedekiah, the son of Chenana made horns of iron for himself, and he said, 'Thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they're destroyed.'" Now, to these kings, that was very positive and encouraging. That was what they wanted to hear. And all the prophets did so, saying, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hands." This sounds like Hananiah, doesn't it? They're prophesying good things to these kings. But these kings were actually getting ready to walk into a very bad situation. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, "Now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king." So there's a lot of prophets, and they're all encouraging the king to do this. "Please let your word be like the word of one of them, and speak encouragement. Please, Micaiah, give us an encouraging word, just like all these other prophets." And Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak." Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall we refrain?" And he answered them, "Go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king." Now, we're going to find out Micaiah's not being honest here. So the king said to him, "How many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" Then he said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let each return to his house in peace.' And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'Did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?' Then Micaiah said, 'Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by, on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead?' So one spoke in this manner and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, 'I will persuade him.' The Lord said to him, 'In what way?' So he said, I will go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. This is a hard passage for many people because the Lord himself appears here to be deceiving the people. But we need to understand something about when a nation is under judgment. In 1 Thessalonians, in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 2, and then if you look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you find that it says, they refused to receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Therefore, God would send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So when a nation gets to the point that they are so deluded in themselves, they are so far under judgment, God may unleash Satan and unleash the false prophets and allow them to prophesy false things to the people because this is what they wanted to hear. They have itching ears. We're in a day with itching ears. And the people heap up for themselves false prophets, false teachers that speak lies, positive, encouraging lies. And that's what they were getting here. And you see the prophet Micaiah said, actually, I was just telling you that. You guys are actually under judgment and you're going to lose this battle. Now, what did they do? How did they respond to Zedekiah? Or how did they respond to Micaiah with these prophecies? Verse 24, it says, now Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way did the spirit from the Lord go from me to speak to you? So now he's mocking him and he actually punched him in the face. And Micaiah said, indeed, you shall see on that day when you go to an inner chamber to hide. So Micaiah made another true prophecy against Zedekiah. And that would come to pass. Micaiah is the only true prophet, and they won't listen to him. So both these kings go up, and they're greatly defeated. And ultimately, this winds up being the death of Ahab. He wouldn't listen to the true prophet, and he died in battle. God had given him a final warning, and he died. He didn't listen to it. But I'm also reminded of a city called Nineveh, where a true prophet of God went. Now, this was a rebellious city. You remember in the book of Jonah? And Jonah was a rebellious prophet, and Nineveh was a rebellious city. But God had called Jonah the prophet to go and prophesy to Nineveh. But Jonah hated Nineveh. These were cruel, horrible people. These were people that had come and probably killed his family, killed people that he knew. He knew they had been tormenting Israel and Judah forever. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time saying, this is Jonah 3, okay, Jonah chapter 3, and he says, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent, and Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk, and he cried out, and he said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, Jonah gave him 40 days, and the people of Nineveh repented in that 40 days in dust and ashes. They put on sackcloth. They fasted, they wept, and they turned to the true God. And you know what God did? God relented of the judgment. God relented of the judgment against Ahab as well when Ahab repented. God gave him a chance. God gave Nineveh a chance. And sadly, Nineveh turned back to their sin about 100 years later, and they were ultimately destroyed. I'm also reminded of a prophet named Balaam, who came to prophesy against Israel. And King Balak wanted Balaam, this is in the book of Numbers, the king of Moab, Balak, he wanted Balaam to curse Israel. But Balaam was actually not a false prophet, but he was a corrupt prophet. And his doom was as bad or even worse than the false prophets. Because Balaam prophesied truly. Balaam told Balak the true word of the Lord. And God was actually speaking to Balaam. So we have to understand, some of these bad prophets actually hear from God at times. Some of these teachers hear from God, but they corrupt themselves. Balaam's motive was money. Balaam wanted money. He was corrupt and perverse and greedy. And in the he prophet, he didn't curse Israel, he blessed Israel. Okay? So he actually brought a positive, encouraging, true message to Israel, but it wasn't what the King Balak wanted to hear. And King Balak figured out he could corrupt this prophet with money. So Balaam told him, here's how, you know, I can't prophesy against Israel, but here's what you do. Get all these women and get all your women, your prostitutes or whoever it is, anybody that'll do it, and go seduce the men of Israel with these beautiful women, and then bring little idols of Baal and get them to commit idolatry and adultery and fornication, and then the wrath of God will come on the nation. That was the counsel of the prophet Balaam to Balak. So he was a true prophet, but he was a corrupt prophet, and he wanted money. And this is what wound up what happened, and it worked. His plan against Israel worked because they fell to these women and committed idolatry, and the wrath of God came down upon Israel at that time. But Balaam serves as a warning. Balaam died by the sword, and Balaam's wickedness was ultimately used now as a warning against us to watch out for these teachers that are hungry for money, and they wind up bringing you into sin. Even though they may be teaching you good things from the Bible, they wind up leading you into sin. I was just watching last night at all of these teachers who have been teaching good things from God, but then they fell due to sexual immorality or greed or whatever it was. They wind up falling and their churches dissolved. A very scary thing. I read an article this morning, and it was called, Why Are So Many Bad Things Happening to the United States? And it went through and it gave many, many examples of things that are happening to the U.S. right now in 2022. In 2022, it says, I'm just going to read a little bit from this article from Prophecy Newswatch. But it says, have you ever wondered why we just keep getting hit by one thing after another? I grew up during a time when it seemed like America was endlessly blessed. But now everything around us seems the opposite of blessed. Our economy is imploding. Inflation is out of control. The housing market is starting to crash. Our weather patterns have gone completely nuts. The western half of the nation is enduring the worst drought in 1,200 years. We're dealing with three major pandemics simultaneously. We're losing our proxy war with Russia in Ukraine, and it looks like war with China is just around the corner. And on top of everything else, our political system is falling because liberals and conservatives deeply, deeply hate one another. And if you think that there is hope on the horizon, you're going to be severely disappointed. The current crop of politicians in Washington is the worst we have seen in our entire history, and all the solutions they give us just seem to make matters even worse. This weekend, I came across a very intriguing article in the Jerusalem Post entitled, Is God Punishing the United States of America? It was authored by a prominent businessman named Sherwin Pomerantz, and it really got me thinking, could it be possible that there's a common thread that connects all of the bad things that are constantly happening to us? And that is my challenge for you. What is going on in the United States of America right now that might make us think judgment is looming, or perhaps we've already fallen under the judgment of God? Now, I am reminded of Daniel, a prayer warrior, somebody who humbled himself and fasted and entered into the spiritual warfare that comes through prayer and fasting. And the Lord brought him an incredible message during a time of judgment. Israel had been judged, but God was going to restore that nation. My question for you is, do you think God would restore the United States, would give us another chance if we would humble ourselves and repent and pray and turn from our wicked ways? Do you think we could have another chance? Remember how God received the prodigal son back into his arms after he had eaten with the pigs? And that's where America is right now, really. We're eating with the pigs. We've gone prodigal against God. May God grant us repentance. People, if you're listening to this, please join me and many others to humble ourselves, fast, and pray for this nation. fast and pray that we would see ourselves as children of a new kingdom, that we would bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to this dark world, and that we would, our lamps would be filled with oil during this time of impending judgment on the United States. Let's be of those who bring light to this world. Let's be of those who rise up and step out of the darkness of this age and into the kingdom of light of the Son of God. May God bless you as we turn to Him in repentance.